We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, here we go. Salute to Knicks Nation. CP, the franchise here. Day one in Las Vegas in the books, and the Knicks lose. 88-77 to the Blazers, man. I'm sorry, people. I might be bad. Look, every time I travel to go see this team, every time I go watch this team in person, we lose. I thought we were going to continue on a hot streak. I told you guys I want the Summer League championship. Knicks starting off this season in Summer League 2-0. And hey, they started off this game very well, man. Jumped out to an 11-0 lead. Grimes, McBride, Ferron Hunt all coming out the gates hot. Knicks defense picking up where left off against the Chicago Bulls, you know, smothering the Blazers. Blazers could not shoot their way out of a wet paper bag, but they would ultimately climb back into this game and take a 1-point lead at the half. And things came close in the third quarter. Blazers edging up with a 2-point lead in the third. And in the fourth, things kind of just fell apart for the Knicks. I thought they just had tired legs coming off of a back-to-back. As the game progressed, the Blazers really just caught their mojo. You could see that their confidence was really there. They started knocking down their shots. They were chippy. They were talking out there, really talking a lot of trash. And ultimately, you know, it took this game. I thought the Blazers' size really, really impacted the Knicks, in particular in the fourth quarter between Trendon Watford, Jabari Walker, Keon Johnson. Their length and athleticism really bothered the Knicks. The Knicks pick and roll defense was not sharp, especially in the fourth quarter. Blazers control the glass this game 49-30, limiting the Knicks to, you know, one shot on offense. And defensively, you know, they just did not have any answers. And so give credit to the Blazers. They played well. It's Summer League. It is what it is. I just felt like the Knicks kind of sputtered to the finish line and just ran out of gas. You know, second night of a back-to-back, it happens. Here was Coach Dice Yashimoto on what happened in tonight's loss.
It's part of it. We got to get better. You know, it was another challenge for us, and it was obviously back to back. I like the shots that we got. We didn't make a lot of them. We made 10 of them, 11. Because I like those threes that we took. And as long as we hit the paint and kick out for threes, I'm okay with that. So, it was, you know, to turn off the pressure, and we have to use the pressure against. We can't go against. We got to use their pressure against. Gonna take a look at the film. Trying to get better.
You guys got out rebounded 49-30. Do you think that you had a problem with some of their size with Watford and Woods?
Well, that too. A lot of it came from like us not being able to keep the ball in the front, and that, which what it did was our big had to go in and help, and then they attacked the offensive glass from the weak side. So we got to do a better job as a team, keep the ball out of the paint, and. When the big goes to help, weak side got to sink, and we got to do a better job overall. I mean, obviously we got to be physical, turn and check, and a lot of long rebounds. They were going after it pretty hard, and so we got to do a better job overall. But I like our effort.
Quentin Grimes seems to be very aggressive in attacking the basket this year. Has that been a point of emphasis amongst the coaching staff, or do you think that's just more him being more comfortable in the second year?
Not just a one area. I want him to continue to get better at all areas, not just the pick and roll stuff. But he's being aggressive, trying to. You know, you tell him to be aggressive, stay aggressive. If you open, you shoot it. If not, keep the ball moving. And he's done a good job so far.
And that was Knicks coach Dice Yoshimoto. And again, he spoke about the Blazers really turning off the pressure and the Knicks unable to kind of use that pressure and aggressiveness against them. Knicks really just settling for a lot of one shots, especially in the fourth quarter. Didn't really get enough ball movement to keep that aggressive Blazers defense working and finding open shots within the rhythm. I thought the point guard play was a little bit choppy there. You know, McBride didn't really give us too much from a facilitation standpoint. Still needs to work on his aggressiveness in attacking the basket. And so, you know, between McBride and Grimes, really didn't have much ball movement to speak of, especially late in the game. Now, Coach also spoke about Quentin Grimes and wanted to see Grimes work on all aspects of his game, not just being working out of the pick and roll, but just continue to be aggressive, play make, and take that shot when the shot is there. Grimes, once again, leading all scorers with 24 points and continues to light it up in the summer league, man. Here was my interview with Quentin Grimes and his thoughts on the game and as well as what he's working on this offseason.
You know, your defense and your shot making has certainly been on display, but you've been attacking the basket a lot more. Is that something that you really put emphasis on in your second year?
Yeah, definitely. Just kind of just not being a three-point shooter, because when they close out, you open up the driving lane, driving gaps. And I play, I just want to come out here and just kind of just work on my whole offensive game, driving it, passing it, just doing a whole lot of everything, really.
Being in your second year in your second summer league, how do you feel like you want to impact this locker room with some of the newer guys?
Yeah, to kind of just bring them on to be kind of not a leader by kind of my first year. I feel like I can definitely be a little more of a vocal in the locker room, not afraid to talk and just talk to the guys, just tell them what it's going to be like and stuff like that. So I feel like just helping them out, telling Trevor what it's going to be like on the back-to-back, the first time playing the back-to-back, really kind of in an NBA game. I feel like helping them out every time I can, I'm going to do that.
Working with Coach Perk and Penny Hardaway this offseason, what's been your offseason developmental goals?
Offseason really just kind of to get a lot more comfortable with the ball. I feel like hopefully this year that will kind of be like the big stepping stone for me, taking my game to the next level, get more comfortable, be more of a playmaker, more of an attacker offensively, just making plays, and then defensively to kind of sit down on whoever coach needs me to be on. Just come in, hopefully have an impact on both ends of the court.
Well, what do you think was your biggest adjustment from rookie year to now in the NBA?
I think it was just not knowing. Just coming in, I didn't know what to expect. You gotta go through things to learn from it. And I feel like last year I kinda got into a routine towards sort of later part of the season. So I feel like coming into next year, I know exactly what to do, take care of my body, when to come in to get extra shots up, when to take rest. I feel like just not knowing, and now I know exactly what to do coming into my second year.
Thanks a lot, man.
Appreciate it.
All right, that was Quentin Grimes, and Grimes talked about wanting to do more with the ball than just be a shooter. So just being more aggressive. What do they do when they close them out on the three-point line? We talked about this on the show, as he talked about in the interview, attacking the driving lanes, making a play for his teammates. And we're starting to see that in these summer league games. You know, six free throw attempts in the game against the Chicago Bulls, seven attempts tonight against the Portland Trail Blazers. So Grimes has really been making an effort to attack the basket, and I think that's very important. He only averaged one free throw attempt last year as a rookie, something that he didn't do much coming out of University of Houston. So that is going to be the evolution of Quentin Grimes' game, and I think the Knicks offense will only stand to benefit from that as he continues to grow.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs.
Twice a week, J.J. Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, I also got to speak to Ferron Hunt, who, as we know, is with the Knicks on a two-way contract. And Hunt had a fairly solid game across the stat sheet, 12 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 for 4 from downtown. Here was my interview with Ferron Hunt and what he wants to work on this season.
What do you think went wrong tonight in the fourth quarter?
I don't know if it was a back-to-back or, you know, we just missed shots, but... You know, we got to be able to play the way – we got to play the whole entire 40 minutes the way we played the first quarter. I think we came out with great energy the first quarter. You know, we showed what we could do. We just got to do that for 40 minutes.
Yeah, I saw Coach Tibbs kind of coaching you up during that fourth quarter. What did he say to you?
He was just emphasizing, you know, come on, get the team going. You know, get some energy. Come on, we still got a chance. So, you know, that's kind of what they look for me for, energy. You know, just getting the team ready and, you know, being able to play. That was mainly what he was saying.
Yeah, your defense and your shot making has certainly been noticeable in the summer league. What do you think is the most underrated aspect of your game?
Just my shot making and stuff like that, being able to make threes. But I've been working every day with Ike and Earn and everybody at the coach staff, man. It's just unbelievable. You know, they really put the time and effort to me all summer. We've been working extremely hard, and it's just a real blessing.
What do you think about the support from the Knicks fans in attendance today?
That's actually crazy. You know, I know that we have the best fans for sure. Yeah. It's not even close.
Thanks a lot, man.
Appreciate it.
Certainly a lot to like about Ferron Hunt, man. Just watching him on TV, watching him in person, the athleticism, the wingspan, the range, the jumper has been nice. He's been attacking the rim. Like Ferron Hunt a lot, man. And on the Knicks two-way contract, not sure how much opportunities he'll get with the main roster, but at the very least, he'll be in Westchester with the G League team, continuing to work on his game and continuing to work with his coaching staff, who he spoke quite highly of, as well as his teammates. And he spoke about his chemistry with Jericho Sims and some of the guys in the locker room. So certainly a good sign as the Knicks continue to look for players to develop. Now, the sideshow to this game, Richard Jefferson as a referee officiating his first NBA game or summer league game. Richard Jefferson coming into this game in the second quarter. And we had to have figured at that point, once Richard Jefferson jumped into the game, it was all downhill for the Knicks. It just seemed like as soon as he came in, all the attention went over to him, and then the Knicks kind of just lost their mojo. But, I mean, in all seriousness, I thought he did a fairly decent job out there for his first time, and the crowd was certainly getting behind him, trying to make sure that he was on top of every call and sarcastically cheering him on when he got the call right. Here was Richard Jefferson on what it meant to officiate a Knicks game.
Did you start to ref a Knicks game, or was it?
Yeah. I got to pick what game I was going to referee. Okay. Really, no. All kidding aside, no, I did. And I have no issue with the Knicks fans. I understand when they see my face. What up? When they see my face, I understand they can get frustrated for all the years of pain that have tormented them. I like it. Part of the rivalry, and it's like Ohio State, Michigan, UCLA, USC, Duke, North Carolina. The Knicks are the team in the town. We're the Nets, so there's always going to be the rivalry. There's always going to be that energy, and I have no problem leaning into it, playing into it. Nothing but a ton of respect for everybody in the Knicks organization.
Was that was a little ribbing back and forth with the Nick Grange trust?
Yeah, you know, just a little bit. Tibbs was over there cracking jokes, telling me to blow my whistle, telling, you know, just having some fun. And again, just like I said, it was an amazing experience. What I learned in these 5-6 days of going to class and getting to know them, really, it's about their mindset. Like I said, I might have had the call right, but I'm not demonstrative with it. I wasn't confident with it. And just to see how Monty and this entire crew, like they teach these guys and the men and women that are being referees, how to be intense, how to be locked in the moment, all the little things, eyesight. There's so many intricacies that you guys couldn't even believe. Like
All right, so that was Richard Jefferson on his officiating experience. I mean, look, we all know that there's a playful love and hate relationship between Knicks fans and Richard Jefferson, but I give him a lot of credit for taking it seriously. And you know, he's really embracing the behind the scenes of covering basketball or you know, embracing the tentacles outside of being a player. He's rising up in the media ranks, both as an independent creator as well as a analyst on ESPN, and you know, jumping into officiating, things of that nature. And as he said, he's taking it very seriously. And I did witness, you know, the Knicks brain trust. It was Dolan, Perry, Leon Rose. A couple seats down was me. You know, a lot of people say I'm in the CAA mafia. You know, I'll keep that to myself. But yeah, I was right there. I was sitting courtside next to those guys, or a little couple seats down from those guys, if you will. And they had a lot of banter going back and forth with Richard Jefferson. So everybody enjoyed it. And I thought it did add a little entertainment to the Summer League game. So great job by him. Outside of that, man, my first experience covering Summer League as a member of the media, something I'll never forget, man. I met a ton of people. First person I ran into when I got into the arena was Josiah Johnson, who's obviously killing it on social media. First Nick I ran into, Rick Brunson. Ran into Rick Brunson in a random hallway, man. Just, you know, dapped him up, said congratulations on everything. You know, Rick Brunson coming back to the Knicks, and of course, Jalen Brunson signing with the Knicks as well. I mean, I ran into everybody, man. Eddie Johnson, Sam Presti, Mark Jackson, Chauncey Billups, Melo was there with his son. I mean, you name it, they are there. Chris Haynes, Yahoo Sports. You know, I was able to go behind the scenes with my guys at SiriusXM NBA Radio as they were interviewing Mark Jackson. Mark Cuban came along, had a chance to chop it up with Mark Cuban for a little bit. Had a great, great conversation with Jaren Jackson Sr., father of Jaren Jackson Jr., who plays for the Memphis Grizzlies. Jaren Jackson Sr., as you guys know, working with the Knicks developmental staff, working hands-on with the G League. I mean, we must have chopped it up for a good 40 minutes. He pointed me out, because little did I know that Jaren Jackson Sr. is a big fan of Knicks Fan TV. He hits that thumbs up button for you boys. Was very, very encouraging. Had a lot of positive things to say about Knicks Fan TV and what we're doing for the fan base in covering this team, the depths at which we go to cover the team, the consistency in which we cover this team. He was very, very complimentary of what we do, man, and he and I had a great, great conversation. As I said, man, Summer League, it's the place to be, because you literally run into everybody in the NBA. Everybody comes through and ascends onto Las Vegas over the weekend and throughout the week, and it's just a great experience. So for me to be able to have this experience and cover it as a member of the media, something I won't forget, and something that I'll be doing all this week. So continuing to keep it locked on Knicks Fan TV, on our social media channels, Instagram.com/KnicksFanTV, Twitter.com/KnicksFanTV. Check me out on the CP The Franchise channels, both on Instagram and Twitter as well. And yeah, man, we're going to continue to keep rocking and keep bringing you that fire content. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Subscribe to the channel, and I will catch up with you guys Thursday as the Knicks take on the Orlando Magic. We're going to go with a regular post-game show. Only reason I didn't do it for this Knicks versus Blazers game, because the game ended very late on the East Coast, and then the reception in the arena is not good for live streaming, so I had to record everything. Got some great footage. As I said, you can continue to see that all along my social media channels as the week progresses. So I'm out of here on that note. Peace.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.